Annie the Railroad Dog by Phil Walker. This is the story about a dog and a city's love affair with her. In the early 1930s, the twin colossus of the Depression and the Great Dust Bowl strode aside a prostrate Colorado and had brought the city of Fort Collins to its knees. In the embattled homes, stores, and offices of the city, the lights burned around the clock as the dust storms marched endlessly across the plains, blotting out the sun. There was no money, no jobs, no crops, no credit, and no end in sight. The 2,000 or 3,000 families in town had a tendency to band together and focus on living a day at a time. Traditions ran deep. No matter how hard things were, people felt they could count on each other. Life was still pretty simple. The most modern transportation that people had was the railroad. Certainly, there were a fair number of cars in town by this time, but there were no interstate highways, and cars were a local phenomenon. If you wanted to really get somewhere, you took the train. This meant that a lot of people went in and out of the main train station, and it was a popular meeting place. In 1934, a train heading for Fort Collins steamed into the little town of Timnath, several miles to the east. On a cold winter morning, across the street from the station was a blacksmith shop, and a couple of the railroad men happened to have business there. "Hey, Frank, come here a minute. Look at what I found." Hiding in the back of the shop was a little collie, barely more than a puppy. She was cold and shivering and starving. However, she must have been a real personality because she charmed those tough old railroad guys right out of their bib overalls. Times were hard in 1934, and a stray dog just didn't attract a lot of attention amid the general misery of the Poudre Valley. This one did. "Cute little thing," said Frank, and he reached down and scooped the dog into his arms. The dog raised her nose toward his face and eked out a tiny, forlorn bark followed by a slurpy, wet kiss. "Aw, gee," said the man. "You're a good girl." He scratched her ears and smoothed her fur. "Let's take her home with us," suggested the other man. "I don't dare bring home another animal to feed," declared Frank. "My wife wouldn't allow it." "She can live at the depot," said the other man. "She'll be our mascot." So the railroad men took the little dog onto the train and brought her back to Fort Collins and gave her a home. They also gave her a name. They called her Annie. Annie lived at the depot on LaPorte Street, just off College Avenue, and she turned out to be one of those rare individuals who charmed everybody. From then on, Annie was a permanent fixture at the Fort Collins Railroad Depot. She was known and loved by the whole town. Whenever a train chugged into the station, Annie would faithfully march out to the platform and greet every passenger. Annie was the unofficial ambassador of the city, and newcomers were often amazed to see local people get off the train and run to greet the little dog before they would their own families. She never strayed very far from the station. It was her empire, and she was the reigning queen. You see, Annie had come at the worst part of the Depression and the dust storms. She was a bright little light in otherwise drab and dreary days. People had come to think of her as a symbol of better times. She represented something permanent, reliable, and beautiful. The citizens of Fort Collins cherished her. For the next several years, people just gritted their teeth and propelled themselves along with Annie into an unknown future. By 1941, things had begun to look up. Business was better, agriculture was improving, and the dust storms had come to an end. The future was bright, but the world outside had grown a little unlovely, and much of it was at war. When Pearl Harbor was bombed in December, the United States was drawn into World War II. Very soon, young men from Fort Collins and the Poudre Valley started to leave for the military bases. The scenes were all the same. Little clusters of friends and family would gather around a young man on the platform of the downtown train station and say their last tearful goodbyes. Almost always, just as the train was about to pull out of the station, The young man would reach down and give the faithful little collie a final pat and admonish her. "Annie, you be a good dog until I get back." Annie would bark an encouraging farewell, and then the young man would be gone. Annie the railroad dog said goodbye to them all, some of them for the last time. The years passed. By the end of 1945, the boys who'd gone away to war now began returning to Fort Collins, older, wiser, and eager to get on with their lives. Every day they could be seen staring anxiously through the windows of the trains as they pulled into the station in Fort Collins. Once again, the scenes of families, friends, and loved ones gathering around the soldiers and sailors were repeated, but now with a much happier outcome. And in the midst of all this, the faithful railroad collie, Annie, was there to bark a greeting and welcome home each favorite son. It was not at all uncommon to see tough, battle-weary veterans sink down on the station platform and take the little dog in their arms and cry, while Annie licked their faces and dried their tears. In those moments, each man knew that he was really home and the war was truly over. Now the exciting years of expansion and growth began. Prosperity brought an expanding population. New homes and businesses were built. Fort Collins was busy shaking off the ravages of all the terrible things that townspeople had been putting up with for so many years. Dust storms, depression, drought, war, rationing, and hoping someone in your family didn't get killed. There was a great sense that the future potential for Fort Collins was nothing less than spectacular. But there was one soul in town whose work was now finished and whose life was near its end. Although railroad engines continued to chug into the station of LaPorte Street, just off College Avenue, they came less often and they pulled fewer passenger cars. Most people now were finding it more convenient to use their cars, since the roads had been enlarged and improved. They'd even started to build a thing called a freeway in Denver. Nevertheless, the arrival of a train was always the signal for Annie, the railroad station collie, to struggle to her feet and valiantly meet every passenger with a little wolf and a wag of her tail. Her arthritis had gotten so much worse in the last couple of years that it was getting harder and harder for her to get around. At last, the tough old railroad roaders just could not let her suffer anymore. In her 14th year, she was put to sleep. Fort Collins wept. Annie had seen them all through the tough times. There had been times in the past when the only thing that seemed right about the city was that little dog. The men of the Colorado and Southern Railroad broke all the rules and buried her right next to the tracks where she spent her life. And they also put up a 3-foot-tall headstone that said, "From CNS men to Annie, our dog." Half the town showed up for the funeral. The gravesite was destroyed some years later when the tracks were repositioned, but the gravestone is preserved today at the Fort Collins Museum, where it can be seen and the story told over and over again. It is the story of a dog and a city and a love affair that never ends.